You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Monday, April 15th. If you live in the United States, that may mean something that may be a bit stress-inducing, but don't worry, it's Mental Health Monday.
Yes.
And the emotion we're exploring today is calm.
Very appropriate.
Very appropriate.
It's
for
like
Monday,
we
planned
it that
April 15th. We are going to get into our Mental Health Monday conversation in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us to explore more emotions, Deaconess Heidi Gaiman, author of Emotions and the Gospel, Created for Connection, and Finding Hope from Brokenness to Restoration. Heidi, welcome back.
Hi.
All right. Last time we explored wonder.
That was so fun.
You have to say it like that, the wonder.
Yeah,
voice.
That's fair.
Cinematic voice.
Yeah.
But today we're going to explore calm. What's the right voice for that?
Calm. Oh, you're right. There are like, that is really
There's
funny.
Different voices. They sound different.
It's so good. I like in my therapy office with kiddos, we practice emotion charades, which like to build our granularity, we call it like our vocabulary of emotion and have like way more words to describe our emotion because it's really helpful for emotional processing. And so it is wild what they can come up with to get me to guess the different emotions. It's so fun. So I'll have to tell them like, okay, let's just do this with our voices. I love it. Okay, thanks for the idea, you guys.
That's amazing. I want to play emotion charades. Next party game.
All right. So should we start with the definition? How do you define it?
So I did a real deep dive with this one because I just realized that calm was so elusive for people. Mm-hmm. And it, particularly in Christianity, was something that people put a high value on. Like, and it's funny because I have a friend who tells me, like, Heidi, you'll never be chill. Like, you're calm. You're just never chill. And so, like, it's really accurate. And so I was, like, trying to discern some of this for myself. And so digging into it. And in one of the therapeutic methods that I use, internal family systems therapy, calm is actually one of the C's of self, which represents being in self energy, like this sense that we are letting our sense of self come forward, that we have a sense that we can navigate the world and make decisions that feel true to us and things like that. And so I was just really curious why this was so important to us as humans, and what it was and how it was different from some of those other things. And so the definition that I came up with really is in juxtaposed to the definition of peace, because I think people get the two confused, especially scripturally. So I thought that was really important. So calm, the definition I have, and you can find it on the website, HeidiGaiman.com, in the article, related to evenness, sense of evenness, lack of overwhelm, and a sense of pleasant freedom. And so that definition comes from particularly like combining other research-based definitions and then looking at scripture. Now, I want you to see the difference between that and the definition for peace, particularly biblically, right? So peace, the absence of disturbance, disquiet, and or hostility, the presence of security, harmony, and cooperation. And so all of these things are really what we would consider pleasant emotion things for us. Like, we want a sense of security. We don't really enjoy being overwhelmed. We want that sense of evenness. However, I think a lot of times, like, we as Christians expect peace to be present in our life more often. We end up kind of like hamster wheeling the situation to try to get to peace in life, when really the most of what we're going to experience in a broken world is calm. And that's calm can be curated with skills and with attention to God and ourselves and understanding those things. Whereas peace, particularly as a fruit of the Spirit, is something, we call it the peace that passes all understanding for a reason. It's supernatural in nature in a broken world. And there is a not yet component to peace. And so if we continue seeking that solid sense of security, while we do have that in God and in Jesus Christ, we're also going to have that duality of the brokenness with it. And so kind of like without negating like the work of the spirit and peace being present on occasion, like calm is the daily thing that we are looking for.
Is it possible to have calm without having peace? Do these always come hand in hand, or is there some way to experience them in opposition to each other?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I definitely don't think they're like opposed to each other, but I do think like what happens is that the peace that passes all understanding, so the fruit of the spirit peace, and when as Christians, we our understanding of peace, right, is something that will only be had supernaturally. So I would say it would be accurate to say, for instance, we experience the fruit of the spirit, which is peace, when we are experiencing a hard thing, but we have a moment in that that feels supernaturally outside of the norm of the stress of that incident and what it would bring to our lives normally. Like that, you see people all the time who are like struggling through cancer or who have lost someone they love, and they have this a little bit of moments in there where you're like, what is going on with that person? Because this is a really stressful situation, right? It feels so outside the norm of human experience. So I would say that peace is different from calm in its supernaturalness, that we are not, honestly, I believe, going to get there just as humans, that we get there because we are connected to God, particularly in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will bring it up in a moment where we really need it. Calm, on the other hand, is related to the way we process the world and our ability to process our emotions, our cognitions, to have relationships that feel supportive for us, and all of those things that we can and do have some agency with as humans, so that we have more of this even-keeledness, so that like the mood swings of life and the like kind of shock and awe of like the brokenness of the world aren't like pouring in and out of our life, but instead we have more of a like sense of like brokenness and redemption each day, daily.
So why do we seek calm? If so, why?
I mean, yet. maybe I'm like a little, but as someone who I think doesn't naturally have that sense of evenness, that like I came out of the womb with a little bit more of that like mood adjustment going on, like highs and lows being pretty strong. And like, I think our sensory system, again, just like wonder, sensory system and emotion, so interlinked, right? If we are easily overwhelmed because of our nervous system, that isn't usually on us. That's on stuff that happened to us or just the nature of being a body in the world. And so I think that we then hunger for it. Like, and that is, I think, part of God's provision. And so the being in tune with God, seeking his word, understanding and sitting with God even to tend to that nervous system, to be able to believe that God is in the hard things of the world, that all contributes to our sense of calm. It's one way we curate calm, is to know that we're not alone in it. It's, again, another reason you see people who are able to process some really challenging things without that kind of crisis mentality and to jump toward crisis, even if it is an actual crisis, because they have a sense of connectedness with God, or they have, previous to that moment, attended to their moods, their cognitions, their needs within themselves and between themselves and their support system, so that they can navigate life. And that's really is part of what calm brings, is that sense that things are navigable.
Crisis versus calm. Interesting.
And I mean, we're going to have crises, like some, that's just reality and truth, right? I mean, this is a broken world, and we have like little bits of it all day, every day, brokenness, but then we have some big moments of it. Calm is not about what is coming at us. It's about our internal ability, as well as access, I would say, to being able to process it in that moment. And I mean that very non-judgmentally. Like, there will be blocks to being able to process a crisis to get to calm, like other people around us and, you know, like the detriment on our life and the impact and the consequences and like who we're trying to protect. And I mean, just the visualness of it, right? Those sensory components and things like that. But again, when we attend to the way that we're processing things before we get to that moment of crisis, then things internally naturally feel more open so we can access a sense of calm, that things are navigable. There's an evenness that this is only for a moment is a big piece of that, that this isn't forever. That sense of time is wrapped up in that too.
We're talking about calm, and we're talking about real calm as an emotion today with Deaconess Heidi for Mental Health Monday. We'll continue the conversation exploring more emotions in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Sharing our faith can sometimes be hard, especially face-to-face. That's one of the reasons KFUO is here, to share God's word globally on your behalf and to equip you with the knowledge, confidence, and words to share Jesus yourself. This Share-a-thon, make a gift to KFUO Radio so we can continue sharing Christ to the world. Donate online at kfuo.org/share-a-thon. That's kfuo.org/share-a-thon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
All right. I kind of alluded to this earlier when I said we're talking about real calm. Mm. It's Mental Health Monday. We are exploring more emotions with Deaconess Heidi Gaiman. She's the author of Emotions in the Gospel, Created for Connection. Sometimes we hear this phrase like, I don't know. Sometimes when I hear the word calm, I picture gurus, sage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's not what we're going for.
No. I mean, I think that's actually, like, that's such a good point, Andy. I hadn't thought about that, that sometimes this word, I was thinking more of how we, like we get so over-attached the idea of it as Christians. Like, we think calm or peace, like, represent God more than, like, our worry or challenges and things like that. And I think that can be destructive. But that's so interesting how sometimes we can like idolize, right, this sense of calm. And I think actually in that is, again, that sense of connection to supernaturalness that we were talking about before the break in peace. And people try to link to all kinds of things and divinity without Jesus, right? Like we try many, many ways to meet with the God of the universe when he has given us his ways. And so I think that's one reason why, you know, again, as humans, we want this. We want calm. We want peace. We want to feel even and like life is navigable. And so we will try plenty of ways, whether, you know, on a spectrum, I would say, from health to not health, right? And everything in between in order to get there. I hadn't thought about that, like kind of new agey component of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that crossed my mind too. So following that tangent a little bit, of what calm is versus what it is not. Because I think because we strive after this so much, it's easy to kind of think that we are in calm or look for it in ways that aren't healthy or maybe push even too far into what it means to be calm and actually end up on the other side of it, which is not good. Mm-hmm. So like, I think in like a lot of pop psychology or like thinking about calm versus feeling numb or like not feeling anything, but being mm-hmm. calm is not feeling, right?
No, absolutely not. And this is one reason why I love the internal family systems like research mm-hmm. around this, because in that the concept that we understand within that theoretical model is that calm is actually just part of you. Like it's inside of you just like curiosity is, just like connection is. And that, but at moments in life, our access is blocked to it. And sometimes life is hard enough that it's blocked a lot of the time. It's hard to find calm inside of me because there's so much else going on, or things seem so challenging, not navigable, right? Mm-hmm. And so like that, I think that changes the paradigm. Like calm isn't something we're running after. You know, we again can curate it, but more because it is part of us. And I like that. I think biblically, we could make that connection to then the Holy Spirit residing inside of us, but also that God is the one who made us. Like he made our bodies, he made our hearts and our souls and our minds. And he did create us as a system of order, even though disorder affects that system. And so I think that's really helpful to consider the fact that calm is inside of us and accessible. It's just hard to find sometimes inside of us, right? Just like anything else is hard to find inside of us because we're all messy. This is one reason why on my website, the exercise I offer to kind of curate a little bit more calm is about actually looking for some of the hard stuff around you first. Because we do so much of that kind of shoving off, or you just said numbing, Andy, like where we try to be outside of the feeling of something or emotion. We cognitize is a therapy word where we move it to our brain really quickly and think about it instead of experience it. And so we are actually blocking calm often. How many of you are a little bit of overthinkers that are listening
me,
to
me right here?
Right.
You think,
right? Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I wasn't trying, right? But like, you know, that is a one way that our brains swirl and swirl and swirl and swirl, and we are actually blocking access to that calm that's inside of us. So sometimes it helps, and people can look on HeidiGaiman.com to find the full exercise. But if we start and just acknowledge the absence of calm first because of whatever is going on around us, and then note the things we can control and what we can't control, you know, and there's a little bit of breathing involved in this exercise, just slow the system down. And I think the primary piece of this exercise that's important is to be with that system of order that I was talking about that God created inside of us, despite the disorder that's so often present in us and around us. And so sometimes it helps to just spend a little time with that sense of order that is already there, because our God is pretty amazing and what he created is pretty amazing for us to live in. So.
Disorder sounds like brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a good part of a year talking about brokenness, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, true story.
Brokenness,
true
restoration. So what's the relationship between brokenness and calm?
You know, I think we would have complete access to that calm, like in the Garden of Eden, right? Or in the restoration when Jesus comes back, when there isn't that disorder or the fragmentation is one thing we talked about when we covered finding hope and all of that. Everything feels just disjointed, hard to understand, and ruptured, right? Things are broken apart, literally, in our universe, in ourselves. And so without that, right, without all of that brokenness, then if you think about like a potted pot, then there's no tension within the pot, right? That the thing is held together, but if there's some cracks in it, or if like they're broken pieces and we put it back together, which is what redemption does, right? It's all put back together. There's still tension in it, and it's easier for it to rupture. And so in that way, too, our systems, and goodness love the restorative systems that God has built inside of us, but that brokenness even gets in itself, is that like we can even experience healing and we're still a little bit like on edge looking for problems because we've experienced them. And so I think calm can be hard to access in that way, too. Whereas in not just even the concept of perfection, right, in the Garden of Eden, but just outside of all of the hard stuff, then things feel navigable. I can do this. I'm not alone. God is here. And that's more obvious, all of that stuff.
You mentioned in your article about Western culture, and I love connecting stuff to our bigger macro cultures and how our even our emotions, how we experience emotions are affected by the culture around us. How does that happen? How does our how we perceive emotion, how we perceive bad things and good things and nervous system regulation and all of that in our Western culture, how does that affect how we find calm and experience calm?
I think that Western culture and the idea of calm is best represented in the Taylor Swift song, "You Need to Calm Down," right? Like, that's a very Western approach to this problem.
And who has that ever helped when they're panicking? Just calm down.
You need to calm down.
You need to.
When has that ever worked?
It doesn't surprise. And we keep trying it, right? We keep trying it, partly because it's so culturally ingrained. And this has to do with the background idea in our culture that it is very choice-based, that our emotions are choice-based, that our experience of the world is extremely choice-based, that none of this is impacted by brokenness and our agency to navigate things, our socioeconomic status, the prejudices around us, the biases, all of that stuff. Like, when in reality, everything we experience is far more complicated than me choosing an emotion or choosing a way of being. And I think it unfortunately puts God in this space where if we're outside of that, right? So if I do experience a crisis and I'm not calm, or if I experience a Monday and I'm not calm, then, you know, what is wrong with me? And is God willing to tend to that? And where is he? Is he present? And so it does have this like disconnecting component with that Western lens that it's on me to get my act together. I do think it impacts our delivery of the gospel too, right? Most people are most open to the gospel when, guess what? They're not calm. Like, they're not in a place where life feels navigable and even. And so if we instead can be with that and let the complications be there and see past maybe their own shame or the shame the world has put on them, to let them know that there's a God who can connect in this and can bring calm, right? Can expand that access to a sense of calm outside of what they're experiencing in brokenness. And that's why I wrote Finding Hope. Let's give some words to this experience, right? Then the gospel can be, I think, more gently delivered and connect a little more easily in a culture that people are, they're already experiencing shame and hurt because we're telling them to calm down all the time. Not that, dear Miss Taylor Swift, like, I understand that that is a little bit of a, like, a parody almost in a song. Like, I don't think that's the message of the song, but it's a good representation of how people talk in Western culture.
Well, in Western culture, though, this is hard for Lutherans to grasp, but in Western culture, especially in American evangelicalism, we embrace Pelagianism, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Yep.
I don't know why we
American
this.
Spirit.
Yes. Like,
it's built into us.
It's just so weird. So, I mean, that makes sense that we also think that, yeah,
if you try hard enough, you can be calm.
Yes.
Mm. Right. Right.
I'm
right.
Not trying hard enough.
Right. Well, I love it. I love God's response to all of our brokenness. Is Jesus, right? Like, he's like, you don't come to me and fix yourself. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to fix some stuff and we're going to be in it together. And it's still going to be hard, but like, we're going to do this together. And I just feel like that's so different than actually any culture, but especially ours, that when we do find it, you guys, it's so good. And it does naturally then build some access to that sense of calm. Because we believe that God is for us, not against us. And that naturally opens that access point to that sense of, oh, there's some order here. There's a God who's in charge and loves me.
Valuable thing to remember next time someone says, just calm down, even if it's you saying that.
Yeah, I have a bad habit of that.
You have got to calm down.
Sorry, guys.
Well, untrue, right? Like, we use it because it's a little true, but not all the way true.
All right. Let's see. Insights for recognizing or finding calm as we wrap up our time together with just about a minute or two.
Yeah, I think that being able to look for both the broken and the good in the world, right? That evenness or whatever, being with those dualities of life, really helps us to be able to then be in the balance of them, which is what evenness is, right? That sense of internal, oh, okay, like not all of this is horrendous. And I'm also not like, you know, positivity this to death and trying to like hide the brokenness stuff too. And so I think that's really helpful just to look around you, name some things that are good, name some things that are hard, and let both be present at the same time.
Exploring more emotions with Heidi Gaiman here on Mental Health Monday. Thank you so much, Heidi, for helping us explore calm today. That was helpful.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.